Good afternoon, and welcome to Legislative Council. It is 4:30 p.m. on Monday, April 23rd. And Molly, can you call the roll, please?
Representative Simon?
Here.
Representative Edgman? Representative Edgman?
Here.
Representative Gattenberg?
Here.
Representative Miller?
Here.
Representative Ortiz?
Here.
Representative Stoops?
Here.
Representative Drummond? Representative
Eastman?
Senator
Cosmo? Here.
Senator Beasley?
Here.
Senator Hoffman?
Here.
Senator Kelly? Senator Kelly?
Gotcha.
Senator McKinnon?
Here.
Senator McChicken?
Here.
Senator Costello? Vice Chair Stedman?
Here.
Chair Cito.
Here.
We have 13 members present.
With 13 members present, we do have a quorum to conduct business, and I'd like to note that we've also been joined by Senate President Pete Kelly. We've got the agenda before us. Do we have any proposed changes to the agenda? For members' information, I will note prior to the meeting that we've switched to the order of the items under item 6, policies, and that the sexual and other workplace harassment policy will be heard before the per diem policy. With that, can I get a motion to approve the agenda? Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we add professional workplace conduct policy to the agenda under other committee business.
I would object.
Speak to your objection.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. That is an issue that we had started discussing with respect to the sexual and other workplace harassment, and it is something that I have not had adequate time to review in any draft form until Friday when it was submitted to my office. And I did acknowledge that there are workplace civility issues that needed to be addressed, and that the subcommittee that was identified for sexual and other workplace harassment would return the recommendations of the sexual and other workplace harassment to Legislative Council. Legislative Council would then have a discussion about putting together a group to look at the workplace civility, because there were people other than those identified in the sexual and other workplace harassment subcommittee that had interest in engaging in the workplace civility discussion. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With all respect, we have notified and been working on this policy since the beginning of session, and it was the intent of the subcommittee to have both policies included together and be brought forward to this committee for consideration. On advice of legal counsel, we chose two phases, phase one being the legal issues that our staff and colleagues might face, and then the issues that were related to professional workplace conduct, but they needed to go hand in hand together for this committee's consideration in adopting any policy. For those reasons, I've asked for your consideration in amending the agenda to include both policy discussions. The meetings were all public. Your staff and all folks in the legislature were kept abreast to everything we did. It was recorded. We brought in NCFL to review the policies that were before us and had an exchange and dialogue there. We put these products, both of them, out for a review for over a week, if not 2 weeks, to make sure that all staff had an opportunity, as well as legislators, to review both policies and provide feedback to our subcommittee. I hope the subcommittee will support us in amending the agenda so that we can have both policies in front of us to protect our staff and the colleagues that we work with today.
Representative Mitchell. Representative Mitchell.
That's close enough. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the co-chair of the committee, co-vice chair of the committee, covered it well. It was actually meant to be one. We were charged with this product. Legal had to split it out, but we were charged with this product. And, Mr. Chairman, is not directed at any individual person, but we've had issues not only with workplace harassment, but we've had conduct issues. And our staff and the public has been subject to the lack of a basic expectation for conduct in this building by legislators and others. And this is one package. I don't feel that it's too, and I would just strongly request that you consider supporting adding, it's two pages. It's a very brief document, and it's the very basics about human behavior in the workplace. And I just hope you'll consider supporting it.
Senator Michicki, with respect, the task of Ledge Council was to address the legal, sexual, and other workplace harassment, which is the reason that our human resources manager, Skip Lobaugh, was put as the chair of that group. Mr. Lobaugh indicated that he did not feel comfortable chairing a group that dealt with workplace civility, and that was one of the other reasons I requested that a request to deal with workplace civility come back before Ledge Council before another work group was established. Senator Michicki.
Mr. Lobaugh was uncomfortable having a voting seat on the second because of the employment law implications, but he was there as a mediator. He led the meetings, and we believe that this is a, again, a very basic document about behavior in the workplace in this legislature, in this capital, that I think is very important. I don't think, in fact, I have a very difficult time understanding why you feel that it's different than what we were charged to do with the assignment.
Senator Michicki, my understanding is that the sexual and other workplace harassment document is a legal document that protects the legislature, employees, and legislators in respect to violation of federal law. That was the reason that we put our human resources manager as chair of the subcommittee. I will maintain my objection and, Emily, will you call the roll, please? The question is whether we add the civility policy component to the motion on the policy for sexual and other workplace harassment.
Yes.
Representative Fettenberg?
Yes.
Representative Millett?
Yes.
Representative Ortiz?
Yes.
Representative Stoops?
Yes.
Senator Coghill?
Yes.
Senator Diesel?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator McKinnon?
Yes.
Senator Michicki?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman?
Yes.
Chair Tito?
No.
Thirteen yeas, one nay.
The civility policy has been added to the agenda. Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council approve the agenda as amended.
Any objection to the motion is stated. Seeing none, the agenda is approved. Next item up is approval of the minutes. We have minutes from March 28, 2017, April 12, 2017, April 27, 2017, May 18, 2017, June 20, 2017, August 17, 2017, October 25, 2017, November 21, 2017, February 3, 2018, and February 5, 2018. Senator
Stedman. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion. The Ledge Council approved the minutes dated March 28, 2017, April 12, 2017, April 27, 2017, May 18, 2017, June 20, 2017, August 17, 2017, October 25, 2017, November 21, 2017, February 3, 2018, and finally, Mr. Chairman, February 15, 2018.
Any objection to approval of the minutes? Seeing none, the minutes have been approved. Next item on the agenda is ratification of charitable events. Senator Stebbins.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council ratify the chair's sanctioning of the following charitable events for Alaska Statute 24.60.080A2B. The Canvas at Reach Annual Fundraising Dinner, 1/28/18. The Second Annual Catholic Community Service Formal Gala, February 3rd, 2018. The 26th Annual Girl Scout Fundraiser, February 10th, 2018. Thanksgiving in March, 2018. The Silver Gala, February 22nd, 2018. Legislative Skits, February 23rd, 2018. Reach 40th Anniversary, February 27th, 2018. Lawmakers Roundup, March 3rd, 2018. Juno's Got Talent, March 12, 2018. Haven House, March 14, 2018. 33rd Annual Sham Jam, March 17, 2018. Juno Lyric Opera Spring Gala, April 28, 2018.
Any objections to the approval of the charitable events as stated? Seeing none, the charitable events are approved. Contract approvals, Ms. Strong, if you can come forward.
Brief Eddie.
Back on the record at 4:42 p.m. Ms. Strong, I think we're going to bring up the contract approvals one approval at a time, so I guess we'll start with Senator Stedman, if you can make the first motion.
I move that Legislative Council approve renewal number 2 of the lease extension with Ketchikan Gateway Borough in the amount of $47,569.44.
And I'll object for discussion. Ms. Strong, can you give us a briefing on the Ketchikan Gateway Borough?
For the record, my name is Tina Strong, Procurement Officer for the Legislative Affairs Agency. The original lease between the Legislative Affairs Agency and Ketchikan Gateway Borough for office space in Ketchikan, Alaska, was for a 5-year term that began March 1st, 2012 and terminated February 28, 2017. There were 5 additional 1-year renewals available. We have exercised one of the 5 renewals. Renewal number 1 of lease expired on February 28, 2018. We would like Legislative Council's approval to proceed with renewal number 2 for the period March 1, 2018 through February 28, 2019 for an amount of $47,569.44. Additional lease information is attached to your memo, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Have any questions about the Ketchikan lease? Seeing none, I'll remove my objection. That lease moves forward. Senator Stebbins, are there any further objections to this lease? Seeing none, the lease is approved. Senator Stebbins.
I move that Legislative Council approve renewal number 1 of the lease extension with Tunitsa Incorporated in the amount of $79,593.60.
And I will object for discussion. Ms. Strong.
For the record, my name is Tina Strong, Procurement Officer for the Legislative Affairs Agency. And the original lease between the Legislative Affairs Agency and Tunista, Inc. for office space in Bethel, Alaska, was for a 3-year term that began July 1, 2015 and will terminate June 30, 2018. There are 3 additional 1-year renewals available. We would like Legislative Council's approval to proceed with renewal number 1 for the period July 1, 2018 through June 30, 2019 for an amount of $79,593.60. Additional lease information is attached to your memo. Please note that on this attachment, it lists Representative Fansler as one of the occupants. This memo was written before Representative Fansler's resignation. Please replace Representative Fansler with Representative Zelkuski.
Thank you, Ms. Strong. Do we have any questions? I'll remove my objection. Any other objections to approval of the Bethel lease? Seeing none, the Bethel lease is approved. Next up, Senator Stedman Goldstein.
I move that legislative council approve renewal number 3 of the lease extension with Goldstein Improvement Company in the amount of $37,768.68.
I'll object for discussion, Ms. Crowell.
The original lease between the Legislative Affairs Agency and Goldstein Improvement Company for Juno Goldstein Storage was for a 5-year term that began July 1st, 2011 and terminated June 30th, 2016. There were 5 additional 1-year renewals available. We have exercised 2 of the 5 renewals. Renewal number 2 of lease expires on June 30th, 2018. We would like Legislative Council's approval to proceed with renewal number 3 for the period July 1st, 2018 through June 30th, 2019 for an amount of $37,768.68. Additional lease information is attached to your memo, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Ms. Strong, we have a question from Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I recall, when we discussed this particular renewal before, we were looking at consolidation and actually getting rid of this storage unit. Can you tell me what we've done? As I understand it, we had hardware that was being stored there that we needed to go through, and we could dispose of those items or relocate to other facilities.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, we are continuing to consolidate, but that's not to get rid of this entire section. We were trying to consolidate to minimize the square footage that's in this location. We have not minimized the square footage at this time. We do have several locations where we may be able to reduce a few hundred square feet, but that has not happened at this time. But we do continue to consolidate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What is being stored there for $37,000? Is there increased value to what is being stored there? Is there personal records? What is being housed?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, each department in the agency has a section down there. Supply, we have all of our extra supplies that for the supply room. At the beginning of each session, we do a large order to reduce pricing when we do larger orders. So we do store a lot of our extra supplies, and then when we run out of supplies, we can run down to the Goldstein to bring them up to the Capitol. So supply has quite a bit of room down there. We have a save-for section where when the legislators come to Juno and you guys have boxes that you want us to save for you, that is where we store the save-for boxes. Legislators are allowed to store files down there, so we have several legislators that do have files down in that location. Accounting has all of their past year's items that they have to retain. Does that answer your question, Senator McKinnon?
Mr. Chairman, it answers the question. I wonder whether someone should go through. We have a new executive director to audit what is in there. I don't feel able to vote no on this particular proposal that's before us at this time, but this particular lease space has been under scrutiny for multiple years, and we're not seeing a reduction of lease space in the square footage, and we have asked for that repeatedly, so I'll pass.
Thank you. Any other questions about the Goldstein space? I will remove my objection. Are there any other objections to approval of this lease? Seeing none, the Goldstein lease is approved. Senator Stedman, Office of Victims' Rights, or actually Ombudsman. Ms. Strong, actually, I think if you can talk about where we're at with the Ombudsman procurement, I think we'd do that before we move on to the next one.
So the original lease agreement between the Office of the Ombudsman and JRW Ventures Windward Town and Country Plaza Incorporated for the Office of the Ombudsman's Anchorage office space was for a 3-year term that began May 1st, 2013 and terminated April 30th, 2016. There were 3 renewals of lease available under the lease agreement, each for a 1-year period. We have exercised two of the three renewal options. The new ombudsman does not want to exercise the third renewal option and would like to relocate their Anchorage office. We had contacted the State of Alaska Executive Branch to see if they had available space that would work for their office. There was space available, however, the leasehold improvement costs needed to make the space work was over budget. We then issued RFP 624 to solicit for office space for them. We did receive proposals and conducted evaluations. However, it was determined that the RFP did not provide for consideration of all factors of significance to the Office of the Ombudsman. Therefore, the RFP was canceled. We issued a new RFP 627 today, and it closes on May 23, 2018. We hope to come back before Legislative Council by the end of June for award of an RFP. Our current renewal number two of lease expires April 30, 2018. Section 36, holding over of the lease, allows the Office of the Ombudsman to continue tenancy in a holdover status for a period up to 6 months at the same monthly lease rate. This gives the Office of the Ombudsman through October 31st, 2018 to have a final decision and any leasehold improvements needed completed. And no action is needed at this time. This was just an update for the Ombudsman's office.
Thank you, Ms. Strong. And just for information, thank you for that, Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Strong, how much is, if we found space inside of an existing state facility, what was the improvement cost?
It was over $100,000 for leasehold improvement costs. And the, through the chair, Senator McKinnon. The new ombudsman did not want to move forward with that option.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe we should ask him to come back to the committee with a comparison so we can actually see some of those numbers and stuff. If we're going to take a new position, new location, and spend whatever we're going to spend versus the lease.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, I can provide that information when we come back to the council.
And Senator Stedman, I can have my office work with Ms. Strong to come up with a memo that outlines the information on the ombudsman lease. Next item up, we have the Office of Victims' Rights. Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council approve the lease extension with L92 LLC for the time period of July 1st, 2018 through June 30th, 2023 in the amount of $47,250 per year, excluding CPI-U adjustments each July 1.
I'll object, Ms. Strong.
The OVR lease between the Legislative Affairs Agency and L92 LLC expires June 30th, 2018 with no renewals available. We contracted with Bon Filipinko Commercial Properties LLC to do a market rental analysis under AS 3630.083. We received the completed analysis and proposed a rate of $210 per square foot to the landlord, or $47,250 per year. The landlord has accepted our offer. This is for a five-year lease extension with 5 one-year renewals. Our current rent is $54,179.64 each year. This is a $6,929 reduction in lease costs for this location. We would like Legislative Council's approval to proceed with the lease extension for the time period July 1st, 2018 through June 30th, 2023 in the amount of $47,250 each year, excluding the CPIU increases each July. Additional lease information is attached to your memo, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Question, Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have no additional lease information. I actually asked for that earlier today because the backup documents I have for the Office of Victims' Rights shows an increase of 25 cents, actually 0.259, and $60,000. Is there new backup information that we should have received?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, yes. The last email that Crystal had sent out had the updated information.
Thank you. Maybe it wasn't printed for me. I'll take a look. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, Senator or Representative Clay?
Just to make sure I understand the CPI, is there a CPI adjustment each year, or for the first 5 years there's no CPI adjustment?
Each year, there's a CPIU adjustment.
If we approve this, we're going to 5 years with an adjustment each year based on the Anchorage Consumer Price Index.
Through the chair, Representative Clayman, yes.
That I will remove my objection. Any other objections? Seeing none, the Office of Victims' Rights, Office of Victims' Rights space lease has been extended. Senator Stebman, Kodiak lease.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Legislative Council approve the lease extension with Trident Seafoods Corporation for the time period November 1st, 2018 through October 31st, 2023 in the amount of $66,015.60 per year, excluding CPI-U adjustments each July 1.
And I'll object to Ms. Strong.
The Kodiak lease between the Legislative Affairs Agency and Trident Seafoods Corporation expires on October 31st, 2018 with no renewals available. We contracted with Bon Filipinko Commercial Properties, LLC, to do a market rental analysis under AS 3630083. We received the completed analysis and proposed a rate of $203 per square foot to the landlord, or $66,015.60 per year. The landlord accepted our offer. This is for a five-year lease extension with 5 one-year renewals. Our current rent is $71,383.92 each year. This is a $5,368.32 reduction in lease costs for this location. We would like Legislative Council's approval to proceed with the lease extension for the time period November 1st, 2018 through October 31st, 2023 in the amount of $66,015.60 each year, excluding the CPIU increases each July. Additional lease information is attached to your memo, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions on the Kodiak lease, Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to thank you, your team, and Ms. Strong for negotiating a lower cost lease in the Kodiak region. Good job. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? I'll remove my objection. Any other objections to extension of the Kodiak lease? Seeing none, the Kodiak lease has been extended.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In our January 28th scheduled meeting that did not take place, there were multiple other leases that were being considered at that time, and I'm wondering if we can get a procurement update on at least Homer and the Eagle River location. They were both over $30,000, and it appears we've taken care of Southeast Alaska with lease space to some extent, but I'm wondering what's happening with some of the other areas of the state that were on that agenda.
Ms. Strong.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, Eagle River and Homer, we will need to come back to Legislative Council for approval at a later time. Those do not expire until October, I believe. The Kodiak lease was also in October, but we had already done the market analysis, so we had the information for that, so we went ahead and moved forward with the Kodiak. The other leases that were on that agenda, they were just for your notification. They did not require Legislative Council's approval. So those we are still taking care of with Chair Quito's office like we normally do. It doesn't require Legislative Council's approval, so we're still handling those in-house.
Sir, I'm gonna-
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are multiple leases that are under $30,000, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate you going forward and negotiating that. The other item that was on that particular council meeting was the Juneau Department of Administration yearly leases for surplus warehouse costs for $65,000. Anyway, there were multiple other high-ticket items on a memo dated January 24th for interagency leases, and I'm wondering if you've negotiated those and those will come back before us at a later time, or whether something else has happened with those leases.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, those leases do not fall under the Alaska legislative procurement procedures because they're contracts with another state agency. So those do not require Legislative Council's approval. We do still negotiate those, but for the most part, like Legislative Budget and Audit, Chris Curtis takes care of her lease for that. So each department would typically take care of their leases under that section.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just say that, again, this is lease space. It's 2,825 square feet, rented at $1.92 per square feet for a total of $65,123.98. And we're storing furniture, tires for vans, maintenance supply, lumber, carpet. I don't know what. Oh, carpet. Carpet, packaging supplies. There's a space in mind, so I'm trying to figure out what pets we were storing. Packing supplies, and so I'm just wondering if we can dispose of some of that lease space so that there's less cost for the state.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, that is our surplus warehouse, and that is it is very full. I would be happy to give anybody a tour that would like a tour. But we do have our excess furniture there. It helps us keep costs low for purchasing new furniture. Staff and legislators, lots of them have gone out to look through the items out there. We have a binder that has all the items that are out there. Maintenance has all of their carpet that they use during their carpet projects. That one, there's no possible way at this time that we could reduce that square footage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. That completes the leases. Thank you, Ms. Strong. Next item on the agenda is the other committee business policies, sexual and other workplace harassment, and we do have a document from the subcommittee. Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, you have two documents in front of you. Did you want to take up the legal policy first?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move. Do you want to move the document?
Make a motion.
I think that's.
All right, Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman. I move that Legislative Council adopt the revised sexual and other workplace harassment policy.
I'll object for discussion. Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, I did not prepare a presentation. This document was distributed to all members of Legislative Council as well as the entire legislature. It updates Alaska's sexual assault workplace harassment policy. It tells individual staff members where they can go to make reports. It talks about confidentiality. It creates a formal, informal reporting process. It addresses reports and investigations involving a legislator and how a legislator may take that policy to an outside investigation in consultation with the Human Resource Department. It has final reports and disciplinary actions as well as an appeals process, and it speaks to, as I've said before, confidentiality and ethics duties and training.
Thank you. Do you have any questions about the sexual and workplace harassment policy or other comments? Representative Layman?
I will just note this: the committee spent many, many mornings early working on the policy, and we had tremendous assistance from our personnel director, Skip Lobaugh. And I thought the best comments were what we got from NCSL, who said we had a strong policy and the changes made it much stronger. Mm-hmm. So that's, unless there's questions, good product.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? I'll remove Senator or Representative Eastman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My only question was, have we gotten public comment to the policy? I haven't heard much from my constituents, and I'm curious if the public's been given a copy and if we've got any input one way or the other.
Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, this is an internal working document, like a business. A business develops their own policy. It certainly has been on gavel to gavel for every meeting, recorded and available for the general public to comment on, as well as distributed wide with a survey to all those that are in the legislature and our staff for comment. And it's been publicly posted.
Without any other questions, I'll remove my objection. Any other objections to moving the policy forward? Senator Machicki?
I just also wanted to point out that we have a FAQ document, which is the result of the survey. It went to every employee that's associated with LAA, if you will. And we had numerous comments and questions, and we've tried to answer them, thanks to Skiff and his team, tried to answer them in a way that points them to the different sections of the policy.
Thank you. With that, the sexual and other workplace harassment policy has been adopted by Legislative Council. Next item will be, and I don't think we've got a motion. Do we need to pause for a motion on the civility?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council adopt the professional session workplace conduct policy.
We'll object for discussion. Any comments or questions?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Mr. Chairman, what we found out when we were going through the legal aspects of the policy that we currently had in place, that there were opportunities for clarity for both staff and legislators in understanding what is a safe and professional workplace environment. And so, to the best of our ability, we've presented the two pages before you that some consider broad, but do discuss appropriately behavior and attempt to define, not all inclusively, what disruptive behavior would look like, what threatening behavior looks like, what violent behavior looks like, and prohibited sexual conduct. It also speaks to that retaliation is prohibited. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. Representative Eastman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to state for the record that I share the chairman's concern that the policy has not been fully vetted yet. I did discuss it with my staff, and my impression, having looked at it briefly, is that it is very one-sided. And it is very one-sided in terms of protecting legislators and protecting staff, but I don't see the appropriate balance in taking in for the public and the fact that we do undertake our business on their behalf, and they have an interest in this policy. And just as a brief example, I know we do have in this policy a statement with regard to how, you know, making a false statement is going to be prescribed by this policy. And I know there are many statements that are made every day in this body or in this building, which some of us might view as true and factual, and other of us might view, for our political perspective, as inaccurate and not factual. By way of two personal experiences this session, I know one member of leadership got to complimenting other members on the floor about how average we all looked, lest there be an interpretation that somehow there was something subjective or inappropriate in comments. And I think that was just kind of in response to the fact there are a lot of things that are subjective that this policy touches on. I know in my own personal experience this session, I was spoken with by leadership after I asked another representative, you know, why it was they voted a particular way on a particular measure. I was told that that was kind of a form of harassment because that might be intimidating if I voted a different way and was asking someone why it was they voted the other way, perhaps that they could be taking that in the wrong manner other than when it was intended. So if our job is to be asking hard questions, certainly there's tact and there's a good way to ask hard questions, but I fear that by not putting the public interest squarely in the document, that we could fail to allow legislators to ask some of the hard questions that the people have sent us here to ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Eastman. I guess I'll just add that I do think that trying to address workplace civility is an extremely important discussion. I do think that this document is a step in the right direction, but in my view, I think there are a lot of other things that the legislature needs to do in order to promote workplace civility, and I do think there might be some opportunities within our existing policies or even to look at all of our policies and consider additional policies. That is why I was requesting that civility be discussed as a separate working group. I don't have any problems specifically with the information presented. I just do think that there's a lot more to it than doing this, and I hope that this does not become the only opportunity we have to address workplace civility, because there are a lot of other things I do believe we could do. With that, I'll remove my objection. Senator Machicki.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I just could have an opportunity to chat about this just for a moment. What this document says is that we expect a safe and respectful workplace, and this does include the public. It's legislators, legislative employees, interns, and third parties that are in the building. And frankly, I'm obviously not going to point out any specific incidences through the years, but it's a gap. We have a gap. We have a gap in our existing policies. Is it perfect? Probably not. But let me give you an example of some of the prohibited unprofessional conduct, and you can tell me if you think it's appropriate in this document. Workplace harassment, sexual harassment, disruptive behavior, threatening behavior, violent behavior, and prohibited sexual conduct. All of these have been issues. These are basic expectations in the workplace that every other workplace has in policy, in code. And we expect the same level of behavior here. If there's something in here that needs to be improved, and I think there probably is in time, but I will tell you that we spent a significant amount of time on this document. It's the basic expectations of operating in this building for everyone. And we put legislators on equal footing. We expect the same out of them. And people should not operate. And I can tell you right now, I'm not one who's easily intimidated. But I expect a certain level of professionalism and courteous behavior. And that's what this basic one-and-a-half-page document covers. And it goes no further than that. So I certainly invite improvements in the future as people have suggestions, but I support this level at this point.
Representative Clayman.
And I just want to mark this as another area in which we had a lot of...
Mr. Chairman, we were at ease.
Back on the record, and I had actually removed my objection. Are there additional objections, or are you just wanting to provide a comment?
Well, I have wanted to make a comment before you remove the objection.
I will reinstate my objections. Representative Planning, go ahead and make your comments.
This also got a lot of discussion in the committee, and it was actually an area that the NCSL, the National Conference on State Legislators, legislatures recommended that we have both a legal policy and a conduct policy, and their comments on this were that it was an improvement over what we have today, which would make sense because currently we don't have any conduct policy. And so I broadly think this is a good work, and we should, and I support approving this. Thank you.
Thank you. So now I will remove my objection. Are there any other objections to movement of the civility policy? Seeing none, the policy is approved. Next item before us is the per diem policy, and I have provided a memo. I'll provide a brief discussion of where I ended up coming from and where I do believe we should go, not that I'm expecting support at this point. But starting last fall, I was dealing with the Alaska's Officers' Compensation Commission. They provided several recommendations and ultimately ended up with a recommendation that reduced the Juneau legislator or the legislators within 50 miles of the Capitol from receiving per diem. The more I looked at the issue, the more I realized that there was an inequity in compensation that was not addressed by the Alaska Salary Compensation Commission. In my memo, I reference Alaska Statute 3923580 that says it is the policy of the legislature that the commission recommend an equitable rate in form of compensation, benefits, and allowances for legislators. As the Alaska Salary Compensation Commission did not address equitability, I felt compelled to do a review of equitability for compensation and have provided a recommendation that appears before you in this memo that addresses the Salary Compensation Commission discussion of removing per diem for Juneau legislators. It also addresses a change that is in process right now, which is suggesting that the legislature receive a flat per diem annually. And it also addresses the additional issue of compensation for per diem when a legislator is only in the capital city or in the location of the meeting place to receive that per diem. This memo, I guess, was quite difficult for me to put together because I knew I would make 60 enemies, or 59, I guess, in this body. But I felt as the chair of Ledge Council, in order to try and make sure that, and it doesn't apply to me as I have decided very clearly that I'm not going to continue my service in the legislature, but the situation as it rests is infinitely inequitable to those legislators that are currently residing in Juneau. Therefore, I felt compelled to bring this issue of per diem before the Legislative Council. Legislative Council certainly has the ability in this case to choose whether or not to support my recommendation moving forward or not support my recommendation moving forward. But because I am the chair of Ledge Council, have the ability and the responsibility to put policies forward that provide for equitability of compensation, I felt compelled to move this memo to Ledge Council for consideration. And I would like to open it up for any discussion, if there's any discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Guttenberg and then Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I introduced legislation in this legislature to disapprove of the Salary Commission's recommendations because their reasoning was irrational and poor public policy. I listened to two of their meetings, and it was some of the least thoughtful, comprehensive, and public debate I have heard in any body that was charged with doing the public's duty. And because of that, I introduced the statute, which is what's required to not accept the Salary Commission's recommendations. There's a long and larger dialogue to go forward if we were to do these recommendations from you, Mr. Chair. This is as inequitable as anything else I have seen. There's lots of conversations between what it takes to maintain homes, what it takes to maintain distances. It's not just between Juneau and everyone else. There are considerable calculations built into what it costs to not be in Juneau, besides what the per diem might be to rent a house or an apartment or bring your car down here. So I'm not going to be supporting this. This is a much larger dialogue. There are things that needed to be built into calculation on what is fair. You know, for 2 years, I represented a district that came out of the coast, came out of Fairbanks and went to the coast. I had to fly to Anchorage, to Bethel, and then all those other, you know, to get on the local commuter flights all over that area. The responsibilities for having a district so far fetched, so far or wide, is inherently unfair to people that live in the urban areas. So there's a much larger conversation between Juneau and just everybody else. If we want to have a conversation about the differences and what's fair, then we should have that. But this doesn't represent that. So I'm not going to be supporting the motion at this time.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I'd like to state that the legislature set up a salary commission. That commission is responsible for recommending to the legislature salary and salary structure. When we set that up as a body, it was not the salary and per diem commission. Obviously, the salary commission has addressed it. I don't think it was their preview to make any recommendations. They can make suggestions if they want to, but that was never an issue that was allowed by law. but it is the right of this body to review per diem and set the standards, and I believe you as a chairman can make those recommendations. But I also agree with Representative Guttenberg, the proposal that is set forth is not equitable. Many people here have to maintain their homes. Everyone realizes, I think Representative Guttenberg alluded to it, that maintaining a home in rural Alaska compared to maintaining a home in Anchorage, Fairbanks, or Juneau is much, much different. I'm not suggesting here that that there should be an adjustment for those that are in rural Alaska, but for individuals that are getting per diem, it is to replace the cost of what we are expending in our homes back home, and we have to be compensated for the housing that is down here maintaining basically two homes. And when you look at it from that perspective, everyone needs to take that into consideration, and to have a 75% reduction if we ended up dealing with this and we ended up in a special session. You know, hotel costs down here are going to run us anywhere from $130 to maybe $200 for us, and in many instances, we are not the ones that are brought down here. The governor calls us into special session. We have to be down here. But for us to consider something to the magnitude of a 75% reduction is wrong. If this council wants to discuss the issue of per diem and what level or whether or not a 50-mile radius is adequate, this council should do it, and that would fall under our preview. But basically, we need to look at the policy and what is a fair policy for all members of the legislature.
Brief at ease. I guess I do want to add for the record that I did do research with respect to the authority of the Alaska Salary Compensation or Officers' Compensation Commission, and they have broad authority in statute actually to set compensation per diem, allowable account, anything that a legislator is entitled to receive, the Compensation Commission has the authority to provide recommendations on, and those recommendations will take effect unless the legislature reacts in the negative within 60 days of the start of session. So I do understand theoretically that they should be dealing with compensation, but in reality they deal with everything. In my review of the compensation, one of the things I think just off the top, a 90-day session currently with the Salary Compensation Commission recommendations, Juneau legislators are receiving $18,000 plus less than they would have before. All other legislators receive $24,000 in 90 days for per diem. That does seem a bit on the excessive side for being able to maintain two households, and so it does not seem equitable. And when pressed with respect to the department and the governor and oversight of the Compensation Commission in their keeping with the policy of the legislature to provide equitable compensation, no action took place. So I'm bringing this forward to Ledge Council to provide for some discussion of equitability with respect to compensation. Senator Steven.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I don't propose or I don't support this proposal in front of. There'll be another one following this discussion for us to consider. Clearly, we have an issue historically in this building when we had
easy access to some of our colleagues that were financially strapped and made them susceptible to behavior that's unbecoming of a legislature. And we've seen that in the press and in the courts. And going down this road, I think, will help put us in the same position we came from several years ago when we had Deco Bill and Company in the building. There's 60 of us. They only have to find a couple weak targets. And as we all know, it's easier to stop stuff than it is to move issues. So I don't support this. I think the issue of singling out Juneau is problematic. I think the 50-mile radius could hit other communities around Juneau, or you would still have to come, like Hoonah, if you had to come from Hoonah. And if you live in Hoonah or you live in Bethel, you still have to relocate to Juneau. You can't drive to Hoonah every night. So we have some issues, I think, to sort out here at the committee over the next several months, through the summer and maybe into the fall, and get this addressed. But I cannot, Mr. Chairman, support such a draconian policy that will, I think, weaken the stability of the legislature immensely. And we deal with hundreds of millions and in the billions of dollars in decisions. And we need to have the and be able to attract middle-aged men like yourself, Mr. Chairman, with a family. Not guys my age that are closer to the geezer patrol on the end of the age section. But we have made it very difficult for working families in the 30s and 40s and 50s to come to Juneau and participate in the democratic process. So we need to take some of that into account, Mr. Chairman. So I will not support your action. And like I mentioned, there'll be another a motion following this to help deal with this, just for members' information.
Thank you, Senator Stedman, and I do understand that and respect that. I guess one of the things that I really want to be very clear about is, given the current Officers' Compensation Commission decision and the legislators that will be coming in representing Juneau starting in January, I worry that what we have established now becomes the new normal, and that there will not be motivation from 59 or 56 other legislators, 57 other legislators, to address an issue of inequity for Juneau. And I do fear, and the reason I brought this forward, again, not because of myself, but because I fear that Juneau will end up short. And as you had mentioned, Senator Stedman, about the concerns over inadequate compensation and making people vulnerable to corruption, we've just created a similar situation like that for Juneau legislators, no other legislators. And to me, that is not equitable. And this committee has the ability to address per diem in order to make compensation more equitable. And I wanted to give this committee that choice, and if that choice is to vote in the negative, then that's certainly the choice of members of this committee.
Mr. Chairman, do we have a, and I do have a comment, but do we have a motion on the table?
I will be asking for a motion, Senator Stedman. Unless you want me to, I can
make my motion, Mr. Chairman. I could, as a courtesy, read this. I think, is this what you want for your motion? I don't have it written out for you.
What I would do, I'll go ahead and I will move Legislative Council policy on travel and per diem to reduce per diem for legislators living within 50 miles of their primary residence to zero, and a reduction of per diem to 25% of the federal winter rate, and that legislators who are not in the Capitol during or the meeting site location during a regular or special session would not be entitled to receive that per diem.
And I'll object, Mr. Chairman.
And any comments, Senator Michikian?
I just wonder what question we're addressing. And I feel like the question is respectfully, how do we get back at the other 57? And the reason I bring that up is the question should be, what is a fair rate that compensates legislators for their expenses while serving? Per diem. Definition of per diem, right? So I worry about the unintended consequences here. What a rate like this does is it attracts the wealthy and the destitute and no one in between. And I want it to be available to all Alaskans, no matter what their financial situation may be. So I agree that we probably don't have it right. But we talked about putting together a working group on evaluating what is a better system of per diem. We talked about it, but you brought this forward without that result. I think the result in the other policy we just passed was a good result. We had people from both bodies, both genders, representing different groups that came together on a pretty good policy. So I would propose that we, and if we may have another change here, but still for the longer term, Mr. Chairman, I would propose that we put a diversified working group together that can be a public discussion that avoids those unintended consequences that results in an adequate system of compensating legislators for their expenses.
Senator Michiki, I think with due respect, we've actually given that responsibility to the Salary Compensation Commission, and that's a challenge for us to do something that would be different than that unless we considered statutory changes, and I had not seen the desire to work on a statutory change to address compensation commission.
Well, I'd like to add that I don't support the motion either. I do recognize the genesis of your concerns, and I would go so far as to say that the Salary Commission, I think, having been somewhat reconstituted in the last few months with a couple of legislators as part of a five-member commission, I think brings forward, certainly has the opportunity to bring forward more of a balanced viewpoint. And I would also go as far as to echo your comments, put it in my own terms, that I thought that the Salary Commission made the recommendation to remove per diem for Juneau essentially acted in a punitive manner. That's my comments. And I think to echo what the Vice Chair said, it is highly problematic, and I hope we, as the legislative body with appropriating powers, can do something about that so that we make it more equitable for the three Juneau legislators vis-a-vis what the other 57 legislators are receiving. I would hope that that this discussion today, which to me, again, to join in what others have said, is sort of coming at us pretty quickly here at the latter part of the session without sort of the benefit of having a deliberative process built around it, which I would definitely be supportive of for going forward, but that this discussion also serves to inform the Salary Commission any future deliberations of their own that they should take another look at the rates for Juneau legislators. I strongly believe that. And so for those reasons, I can't support the motion before us, and I think it came too quickly, and without the benefit of us being able to really look into this, and I would certainly support going forward looking into the matter, but in a more comprehensive way.
Thank you. And I think I'd just like to add one more item on the Salary Compensation Commission that one of the things I did look at when I reviewed the Salary Compensation Commission was their actions in regard to compensation. And up until January of this year, the Compensation Commission provided no recommendations on legislative compensation one way or the other. On two separate occasions, the Compensation Commission has recommended increases to executive salaries. On one of those cases, the increase was accepted. The other case, the increase was rejected by our chief executive, but never in the last three times that the Compensation Commission met since their first decision increasing legislative salaries to $50,400 in 2008 or 2009 session, had they ever even discussed compensation of legislators. They did not discuss it at all. So that's a concern to me. They are not adequately reviewing compensation and trying to make an informed decision, and I felt compelled to respond. And with that, I will keep my motion active, and I think we still have an objection. So we'll
No.
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 Yes. 13 nays, 1 yay. The motion has failed. Senator Stippen.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion that we set the per diem rate at the federal winter rate, $275, for the second session of the 30th legislature. And that would, this is not part of the motion, but an explanation, that would match our budget, and it would, we would not have a bump up to the summer rates on May 1st. So we hold it constant at the winter rate.
Any objection to the motion as stated? Seeing none, the motion passes. Okay, next item on the agenda is executive session. Senator Stubbs.
Mr. Chairman, I move legislative council go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B2 and 3, discussion of subjects and matters that may, by law, be required to be confidential. Any legislators not on the council are welcome to stay. The following staff in the room: Jessica Geary, Doug Gardner, Crystal Coineman, and my two staff, if I got them, Dave Scott and Randy Rivero.
Back on the record on Legislative Council, it is 5:58 p.m. with no other business to come before Legislative Council. We will stand adjourned. Thank you.